Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. We're extremely fortunate to have His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, and Verse 61. But before we dive into this nectarine class, I will request Nishita Bhakti Mataji to share a brief introduction about our today's speaker, His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji. So Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, and over to you.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you, Mataji, for giving me opportunity to serve. So, His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. After completing Prabhuji's engineering studies from University of Delhi and IIT Kharagpur, Prabhuji gathered a few years of corporate work experience with an IIT MNC at Mumbai. Thereafter, he decided to serve the society at large as a resident monk at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir ISKCON Chowpatty, Mumbai. For the last 12 years, he has been actively involved in sharing the essence of our Vedic scriptures with others at a number of corporate, social and educational enterprises. Back at the temple, Prabhuji also heads the temple IIT department and assists in youth outreach. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for the introduction. Hare Krishna Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I hope I am audible. Am I audible, yes. Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, you are.
So, should I begin?
Yes, Prabhuji. Please. Thank you.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो माई डीपेस्ट ग्रैटिट्यूड टू all the devotees for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you today. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, chapter entitled The Signs of God, Text 61. So the text goes, Shri Narada Uvacha Iti Daitya Pater Vakyam दितिर आकर्ण्य सश्नुषा पुत्र शोकं क्षण त्यक्त्वा तत्वे चित्तं अधारयत् द वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग्स आर एज फॉलोज श्री नारद उवाच श्री नारद मुनि सेड इति दास दैत्यपते ऑफ द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस वाक्यम द स्पीच Ditihi Diti, the mother of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Akarnya, hearing. Sasnusha, with the wife of Hiranyaksha. Putra Shokam, the great bereavement for her son Hiranyaksha. Kshanat, immediately. Tyaktva, giving up. Tatve, in the real philosophy of life. Chittam, heart. Adharayat, engaged, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Sri Narad Muni continued, Diti, the mother of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksh, heard the instructions of Hiranyakashipu along with her daughter-in-law, Rushabhanu, Hiranyaksha's wife. She then forgot her grief over her son's death and thus engaged her mind and attention in understanding the real philosophy of life. Purport. When a relative dies, one certainly becomes very much interested in philosophy. But when the funeral ceremony is over, one again becomes attentive to materialism. Even Daityas, who are materialistic persons, sometimes think of philosophy when some relative meets death. The technical term for this attitude of the materialistic person is Smashan Vairagya, or detachment in a cemetery or place of cremation. Thus confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, four classes of men receive an understanding of spiritual life and God: Artha, the distressed; Jigyasu, the inquisitive; Artharthi, one who desires material gains; and the Jnani, one who is searching for knowledge. Especially when one is very much distressed by material conditions, one becomes interested in God. Therefore, Kunti Devi said in her prayers to Krishna that she preferred distress to a happy mood of life. In the material world, one who is happy forgets Krishna or God. But sometimes, if one is actually pious but in distress, he remembers Krishna. Queen Kunti Devi therefore preferred distress because it is an opportunity for remembering Krishna. When Krishna was leaving Kunti Devi for his own country, Kunti Devi regretfully said that she was better off in distress because Krishna was always present. Whereas now that the Pandavas were situated in their kingdom, Krishna was going away. For a devotee, distress is an opportunity to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Hiranyakashipu, the King of the Demons. So here we are on the last verse of this particular chapter. The chapter is entitled Hiranyakashipu, the King of the Demons. So this second chapter introduces the personality of Hiranyakashipu, and it's like a little surprising the way Hiranyakashipu makes his entry into Srimad Bhagavatam. A person with a lot of knowledge. And we have been reading the entire chapter how Hiranyakashipu has been explaining and speaking a lot of sensible stuff, actually. And the background goes that how Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu, has been slain by Lord Varahadev, and his wife and sons, the mother of Hiranyakashipu, Diti, Rushabhanu, the wife of Hiranyaksha, and the sons of Hiranyaksha, they're all lamenting. And herein, Hiranyakashipu is consoling and concluding his preaching to Diti, Rushabhanu, and his own nephews, that is the sons of Hiranyaksha. This reminds me, and the way Hiranyakashipu has been speaking reminds me of a very unique phenomena that we observe in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what I call as the nested loop in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look at the very first canto onwards, we find how Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly quotes or discusses instances of remembrances of different personalities, like we see right in the very beginning, Suta Goswami is being questioned by the sages of Naimisharanya. And the sages of Naimisharanya, they are asking Suta Goswami about what is it that is the ultimate welfare of the people in general in this world. And in answer to the queries by the sages of Naimisharanya, Suta Goswami cites a conversation that once took place between Sukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And in that particular conversation, Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring from Sukadev Goswami very many questions, beautiful questions. And in answer to those questions, Sukadev Goswami cites the conversation that once took place between Maitreya and Vidura, when Vidura left the kingdom of Hastinapur and he had been traveling to all the holy places. Finally, he comes to Haridwar and he meets Maitreya Rishi. And there's this beautiful conversation that takes place between Maitreya Rishi and Vidura, where Vidura is asking a lot of questions to Maitreya Rishi. And in reply to the questions of Vidura, Maitreya Rishi cites a conversation that once took place between Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, after the sacrifice, the Rajasuya Yajna that took place, and where Krishna was enthroned as the Supreme Personality, which was not liked by Shishupal. And Shishupal goes on blaspheming, and finally Krishna chops off his head with his chakra. And seeing this, Yudhishthir Maharaj is very much astonished, and he asks Narad Muni that how is it that a sinful person like Shishupal, because right before everyone's eyes, they could see the life force of Shishupal merging into the body of Krishna. So Yudhishthir Maharaj puts forth this question to Narad Muni that how is it that the Lord is equally disposed to the demoniac and to the devotee. And in answer to the query by Yudhishthir Maharaj, Narad Muni refutes his, Narad Muni clarifies, and he says that, no, actually Krishna is specially merciful to his devotees. And he cites the episode of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. And therein, in this particular section, the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the conversation taking which Narad Muni is explaining to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And in that particular conversation, here we find Hiranyakashipu making his entry, and Hiranyakashipu consoling the wives and the nephews, wives and the sons of Hiranyaksha. And once again, Hiranyakashipu is speaking to the wife of Hiranyaksha and his nephews, and he is quoting the example of King Suyagya in the kingdom of Ushinar. There was this King Suyagya who had died in this battlefield, in this battle, and the wives of Suyagya and all the other relatives and sons and everyone, there was mourning, and how Yamaraj comes as a small child, and Yamaraj is consoling the wives of the dead king Suyagya. And in his conversation, Yamaraj cites the story of this hunter who had killed the Kulinga birds. So time and again, we find how there is this nested loop, but the essence is very much the same. The essence is how living entities in this world are very much attached to what they have been given in a material setting. And how the Supreme Lord, he makes arrangements for people to come out of that attachment. So yeah, of course, what Hiranyakashipu is explaining here is really some very nice preaching, but very much inconsistent with his actions that he is about to perform in the upcoming chapters. But what really caught my attention in this particular verse was the purport of Srila Prabhupada. How Srila Prabhupada, he very expertly, he points out some very beautiful points, and especially in the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he points out about detachment, that how sometimes when there is an adverse situation, when there is a painful situation, people tend to become philosophical. And he quotes this word, smashan vairagya. when people are in present in the death of some relative or in a crematorium, how they tend to become philosophical and they come to all sorts of conclusion as if everything is a waste and everything is ultimately everything has to end. This is the truth of life and everything. But then as soon as the phone rings once again and you start your business and everything is slowly and gradually it gets back to the same materialistic conception. And therefore, we find that this subject matter of death, which is presented in this, repeatedly, which comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this subject matter is something which is very rarely discussed in this particular world. If you see in this world, in any social gathering or in any public gathering, the subject of death is never discussed. The moment you want to discuss about this topic, people consider, why are you being so pessimistic and why you to be so negative? Just have positive thoughts, be optimistic, and all of this stuff. So no one actually wants to discuss about death. Just like sometimes I give this example that if there is a marriage function that is happening, and in a typical Indian marriage function especially, you see all of these different ladies, they come together for this Sangeet ceremony and they're having a nice jolly atmosphere. And if there is a lady who just comes running and she says, stop, 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 stop all of this Sangeet. I have something very important to tell to all of you. And the whole music shuts down. Everyone is quiet. And someone asks, okay, tell what is it? What happened? And she says, no, there's something really important I want to tell you. So the people there, okay, be fast. We are in the middle of something, be fast. And if this lady says that I'm going to tell all of you something about the process of death, and she runs away. I mean, just imagine how would she be, followed. She'll just be kind of cursed and chased by the other people. So yeah, this subject matter of death is very seldom discussed in this world. But if you look at the scriptures, if you look at the Shastras, we find that repeatedly the subject is brought forward and discussed by expert personalities, discussed by very eminent personalities. We find right in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all of the cantos, in the first canto, we find the episode of Bhishma Dev giving up his body. And it's a epitome of the consciousness, the Krishna consciousness that one can aspire to have while leaving this body. So the first canto discusses about the pastime of Bhishma Dev. The second canto discusses about Parikshit Maharaj preparing himself for the impending death. He has been cursed to die in 7 days. And in the whole of second canto, Parikshit Maharaj is asking different questions to Sukadev Goswami. In the third canto, we find how Hiranyaksha, he is slain by Lord Varahadev. In the fourth canto, we find Dhruv Maharaj, preparing himself and boarding this Vaikuntha plane. And we have the example of King Vena, the way he died, and the example of Puranjan, how King Prachini Bharishat is being preached by Narad Muni through the analogy of Puranjan. And the fifth canto discusses about the three lives of Bharat Maharaj and the kind of consciousness he had while leaving his previous two bodies. The sixth canto discusses the way Ajamil left his body and also discusses the way Vritrasur left his body. I mean, Chitraketu Maharaj, his consciousness. And then the seventh canto discusses about how Hiranyakashipu is finally killed by Narasingadev. Eighth canto discusses about Gajendra. And the ninth canto has all of these different big, huge list of the kings, you know, who find their mention in Srimad Bhagavatam. And similarly, all of these different cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that how either there have been devotees who have prepared themselves very nicely, or there have been demons who didn't care a thing about leaving this body. But then just like a intelligent student, just like an intelligent student, he knows that the exam is about to come. And the intelligence of a student is determined by the fact how seriously he approaches the examination. And an intelligent student is one who actually prepares for the examination well in advance, you know, taking into consideration the syllabus, the time that is left, his own strengths and weaknesses, the kind of questions that have been asked in the examination, prior to this, what are the different options that awaits him after passing the examination. If he passes out with very nice marks, what would be the, you know, where would he find himself placed? And what if he doesn't clear the examination properly? So all of these things, so basically the knowledge of the destination also becomes an impetus for the student to prepare nicely. You know, if a person actually knows that if I fare well in the examination, I'll be getting an admission in a very nice university, in a very nice college, and so on. So just the knowledge of all of these destinations becomes an impetus for that student to prepare very nicely for the examination. And one should not be unnecessarily proud, just like a student. If a student is like just you know, relaxed, he, you know, I'll just handle it during the examination. So similarly, we find even in this world, sometimes we find people who are like overly confident, you know, why bother about all of this stuff so early on, you know, whenever, you know, at the fag end of my life, I'll start thinking about all of this stuff and I'll start thinking about spirituality and I'll check out at that point of time, you know, what would be possible for me to do. But then it is said that, you know, one shouldn't be unnecessarily proud that one is very safe in this material world. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of a conversation that is taking place between a wet cow dung and a dry cow dung. So the wet cow dung is seeing the dry cow dung, you know, is being put into fire. And the wet cow dung is feeling proud that, you know, look, you have been put into the fire and now you are kind of burning, and feels very pitiful about the dry cow dung. But then it is only a matter of time that that wet cow dung is also going to become dry and will also be put into fire. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, by this example, he reminds us that this exam is something that everyone has to face, and therefore one shouldn't be convinced that, you know, everything is okay as of now, and I'll check out at a later stage as to, you know, how to prepare for all of this. But then in the very purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Queen Kunti, how Queen Kunti is explaining that sometimes distress becomes an impetus for us to remember Krishna. And she says that when everything is going on nice, people are just busy enjoying. It is very easy to forget Krishna. And we find the same thing here in this world, that when everything goes good, there is no impetus to actually surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then people who are actually pious to a certain extent, when they go through miseries, when they go through distress, they start pondering as to, you know, why am I forced into suffering? And why do I have to suffer this way? And therefore, sometimes distress also becomes an opportunity to remember Krishna. And this remembrance of Krishna shouldn't be, when Srila Prabhupada writes about distress being an impetus for remembering Krishna, one shouldn't feel that, you know, one need to wait for becoming distressed in life for surrendering to Krishna. Like the saying in English goes, make hay while the sun shines. Or in Hindi, there is this beautiful verse which says, dukh mein sumiran sab kare, sukh mein kare na koi. Jo sukh mein sumiran kare, dukh kahe ko hoy. You know, when one is actually in distress, it is very difficult to understand the real truths of life, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Because for an aggrieved mind, to perceive philosophy in the right context is very difficult. Because when the emotions take over, the intelligence is pushed behind. And therefore, one shouldn't wait for difficult situations to come in life to search out for Krishna, to learn about the realities of life, and to surrender to Krishna. And therefore, this is something, as a takeaway point from this particular verse, is, you know, just like it is said that, you know, in every situation, one should look out for this opportunity of turning towards Krishna. Anukulasya sankalpaha pratikulasya varjanam. And no matter whether one is in distressful situation or whether one is in happy situation, if one is truly learned and if one is fortunate enough to have the association of devotionally minded people, one should take this human life, the entire human life, as an opportunity for developing one's faith in the process of bhakti, developing one's faith in spirituality. And I thought of discussing on this particular subject matter as to how we shouldn't wait for adverse situations to come in life to turn to the Lord, but we should take every situation in our life as an opportunity to improve our faith. Because ultimately, faith or Shraddha, as they say, like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that how yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajante ante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers at the time of quitting one's body, the same state one attains without fail. But then Krishna also mentions, antakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati sa madbhavam nati asti atra shamsayah. Krishna says, but if one remembers me while giving up this body, one is sure to come to me. Of this, there is no doubt, O Arjuna. So when Krishna speaks about remembering him at the time of death, we need to understand from the scriptures that it's not going to be that easy unless there has been sufficient practice in this regard. Because it's only practice which leads to perfection. And therefore, if we aspire to have this desire of remembering Krishna at the last moment of our lives, we need to really give it a thorough check, and we really need to practice it very nicely. And therefore, this Shraddha, this is going to happen only when there is this deep faith that yes, Krishna is the Samam Bonam, Krishna is the supreme controller and supreme orchestrator of everything in this entire creation. And this faith, this strong faith, is only going to be possible if we nurture our faith all through our lives. Like faith in Sanskrit or Hindi is known by the word Shraddha. So this word Shraddha How do we understand this particular word? The word Shraddha means is composed of actually a couple of smaller words. Sahrid Adha, that is Shraddha. Sahrid Adha means where is our heart placed? Where have we placed our hearts? Sa, this, Hrid, the heart, Adha, where have we placed our heart? Or where is my heart? What am I attached to? What am I thinking of? And therefore, this Shraddha is something that needs to be evaluated. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita 17th chapter, Shraddha or worship in different modes are explained. You know, people who want elevation to higher planets, they worship the demigods. People who worship the human beings, they are in the mode of passion and urdhva gacchanti sattvata sattvastha madhya tishtanti rajasa. And people who worship the ghosts and evil spirits, they decline into the lower species and lower planets like that. So this faith in different modes is described in the Bhagavad Gita. And ultimately, this faith or this Shraddha is an understanding, is a conception as to what is it which will help me to be happy in times of distress, what is it which will help me to be successful in this world? So every person has a different answer to this question in this world as to what is it that will make me happy or what is it that will make me successful. Some people feel that having a nice body, good health is what will help me in times of distress. Some people feel having nice people around me, a large number of admirers, friends, relatives, family members, you know, all of these people is what will help me in times of distress. Some people feel that a lot of wealth might help me in adverse situations. But then we find that, you know, very soon all of these things, they leave us. I'd like to share a small experience in this particular regard. One time I was flying from Mumbai to a different city, and this experience really taught me a few very important lessons, and therefore I just wanted to share it with all of you today. And while I was on this flight from Mumbai to a different city, the flight was going through a rough weather sometimes, like it does. And there's this announcement of putting on the seat belts and just being at your place and all of that. And everyone returned to their places and they had put on their seat belts. And, sometimes the plane started having these jerks and, you know, up and downs kind of, and at one point of time, the aircraft actually took a very sudden plunge. And it must have been a huge distance, I should say, because it was like really sudden and very, very frightening, actually. The aircraft all of a sudden kind of plunged this way, and I was seated on an aisle seat. And what I saw then made me think. Now, what I saw, you know, all of these people who were seated on the aisle seats in front of me, just as when there was this deep plunge of the aircraft, everyone, without a thought, just caught hold of their armrests. And that made me think as to how much is my holding on to an armrest going to help me just in case something happens now. Of course, nothing dangerous happened. But then this thought made me ponder as to what are we holding to in our own lives. Are we holding on to good medical facility? Are we holding on to good people around us? Are we holding on to a good bank balance that we have? Or are we holding on to anything material? Because each of these things are just like an armrest. If there is something very dangerous or something, you know, the waves of material world could be really scary at times, just like the plunging of this flight that I was in. And one really needs to evaluate, you know, what is my shelter? What is my health line, you know, in this particular world? Because the Bhagavata mentions that a person who feels that one will be able to cross the ocean of material existence by catching hold of material facilities is just like a dog. It's just like a person who is aspiring to cross an ocean holding the tail of a dog. The Bhagavata mentions this analogy, that if a person aspires to cross an ocean by holding on to the tail of a dog, he's never going to be successful. Although, yes, the dog is able to float and the dogs even swim, but then if one aspires that one will be able to cross the ocean by holding on to the tail of a dog, it's just not possible. And therefore, the only way out is to ensure that we have something substantial to hold on to. And this substantial thing is our strong faith in the help that Krishna provides us. So therefore, they say that just like there are these different stages of development of faith in the Supreme. And I'll just spend some time in discussing these four stages of faith development in God. The very first stage of faith is circumstantial faith. You know, people who have absolutely no conception about God, people who don't know anything about God, but still they don't want to risk anything. This is circumstantial faith. Like one time I had some work in a bank, and I went inside this branch of this big huge bank. I was kind of surprised, just, you know, the whole bank was kind of empty. There was not a person around, and all of a sudden I saw that all of these people had gathered in one corner. And this was a new branch that had recently opened up, and I found out that they had been performing some puja and some home and something. And I was kind of surprised that, you know, look at this. Even though you might not believe in spirituality, even though you might not have a proper understanding of who God is, what is his role in this world, but still no one wants to take chance. No one wants to take chances in this world. You know, it is said that even for an atheist, you know, even before an atheist, you put a picture of Lord Hanuman and ask him, you know, just crush it with your feet, the person won't do it. The person won't do it because he knows that, okay, I may not believe, but then I don't know, you know, just in case he turns out to be someone really powerful, you know, better not risk it. So this is circumstantial faith, wherein people, just to avoid risk or loss, or just to avoid distress, they have some belief, they have some faith, okay, there could be something, you know, just like, you know, especially the Indian households, you will find people might not have a clear understanding of the Supreme, and they'll have all of these pictures of gods and goddesses and all of these demigods and everyone. And, you know, in one worship, in a wholesale thing, they'll just ring their bell and, you know, put this whole incense stick to everyone, that I might not know who is the Supreme and what's the hierarchy and so on and so forth. They might not know anything about the absolute truth. but then to whomsoever it may concern, you know, just accept it. So that is circumstantial faith, which is very naive, which is very initial beginning. But then as the circumstantial faith improves a little bit and it zeroes down onto some person, zeroes down onto some god or goddesses, and then what comes is the conditional faith, wherein a person, he reposes his faith depending on the reciprocation that he receives from the higher power. And therefore, we find that people having this conditional faith engaged in a lot of prayers for their material well-being, whether it's health, whether it's promotion in their jobs, or having a good income, or improving their wealth or accomplishments. So all of these things, these people who are on the platform of conditional faith are engaged in a lot of prayers for their material well-being. And this is also something which is very, in one sense, it is pretty selfish in nature, because this is something where one is aspiring to fulfill one's own purpose in life. You know, just like in a particular village, one time, there were these people who wanted to hear something nice, hear about God. And there is a sage comes in, and the sage asks that out of all of you, how many of you actually believe in God? So everyone raised their hands. Okay, yes, if we raise their hands, then we'll get to hear a nice discourse from this sage. And everyone raised their hands, and the sage says, oh, I don't think there is any point discussing about God, because everyone here believes in God. And the sage walked away. And everyone was like really puzzled. No, please call him once again. And the sage was once again brought in. And once again, the sage asked, okay, how many of you actually believe in God? And no one raised their hands. And the sage said that there's no point discussing anything here, because no one here believes in God. So again, he started walking, and he was like, he requested to come back and be there. And once again, he asked, okay. And now the villagers, they had a discussion amongst themselves. And they said that, okay, this time when the sage asked this question, half of us will raise their hands and half of us won't raise our hands. And finally, when the sage asks this question, half of the villagers, they raise their hands, and the half don't. And the sage says, okay, people who believe in God should speak and convince the people who don't believe in God. And that is how he walked away. So basically, we find that, people, for fulfilling their purpose, Bhagavad Gita also mentions, Kankshitam Kankshitam Karmanam Siddhim Yajante Iha Devata. People, they pose their faith in the demigods, or maybe some higher powers, even within this material world, sometimes even powerful people, because this is for this is for getting some material benefit. But then this conditional faith could be dangerous, because it is very much experience-based. As long as our prayers are being answered, as long as our demands are being fulfilled, this faith is maintained. The moment we experience that our demands weren't fulfilled, or the moment we experience that our prayers weren't answered, this faith is destroyed. And therefore, we need to move up. We need to move up from circumstantial faith, from conditional faith, to what is known as cultivated faith. This cultivated faith is faith which is developed based on spiritual association, based on scriptural studies, based on one's observation of the process of devotion, and is based on one's introspection about life and realities of life. So when one actually moves up and he connects himself to spiritual aspect of life, he connects himself to spiritual knowledge, that is when his spiritual faith starts to develop. And this is what is known as cultivated faith, faith that has been built up on a solid basis, faith that has been cultivated based on association, spiritual association, based on scriptural knowledge, based on one's own introspection. And this cultivated faith is what gives quality to one's life. This cultivated faith is what actually helps a person move and reach the right direction, move in the right direction and reach the proper destination. But still, this cultivated faith, although it is very qualitative in nature, but still it is very much fragile. Just like, articles of glass, they might look very beautiful, but they're very fragile in nature. And therefore, there is a need for us to move ahead from this cultivated faith to what is known as condensed faith. This condensed faith is when a person who is in association, a person who is in knowledge, a person who introspects, a person who observes things in this world, when based on all of these aspects, a person engages in practical devotional service. This knowledge, this combination of spiritual knowledge, association, introspection, observation, combined with practical devotional service. When service and knowledge, they get combined, this is what gives rise to realizations. And this is what gives rise to a very strong faith. You know, Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishwasapalam. And this condensed faith is unshakable. This condensed faith is unbreakable, just like diamond. Diamond is also looks similar to glass, but the diamond is not fragile in nature. The diamond is very much unbreakable, unshakable. And this is something that each one of us should aspire to reach to. Yes, as practicing devotees, we have already moved up from the stage of circumstantial faith to the stage of conditional faith. And we might be in this process of cultivating and strengthening our faith in Krishna, strengthening our faith in devotional service. But we need to understand that what is our destination that we need to aspire for. And this destination is the level of condensed faith. In the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, 41st verse, this beautiful verse, Vyavasayatmika buddhirekeha guru nandara. Bahushakahi Anantascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. Srila Prabhupada defines faith, defines this condensed faith. And he says, this faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. I'll repeat. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. So when Srila Prabhupada defines this faith, Srila Prabhupada is defining this condensed faith. He is not defining circumstantial faith or conditional or cultivated faith, but this is solid, unflinching trust in something sublime. And Srila Prabhupada writes that a strong faith that by Krishna consciousness, one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayatmika, intelligence. And he quotes this beautiful verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, this 22nd chapter, 62nd verse. Shraddha Shabde Vishwasa Kohe Sudrad Nishchay Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Srila Prabhupada writes that Shraddha is confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Such a faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that this condensed faith is the fulfillment of all other obligations. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes, the 11th canto describes the different obligations that each of us have in this world. Devarshi, Bhutap, Tanrunam, Pitrinam, न किं करो नायं ऋणि च राजन् सर्वात्मना यः शरणं शरण्यं गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तम्। दैट जस्ट बाय परफॉर्मिंग कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस एंड हैविंग द स्ट्रांग फेथ दैट अवश्य रक्षिबे कृष्ण, विश्वास पालन दैट कृष्ण विल डेफिनेटली प्रोटेक्ट मी इफ आई रिलाई ऑन हिम इन ऑल सर्कमस्टांसेस। If I do my duty and rely on him in all circumstances, Krishna is there to help me and protect me. This resolute determination, this resolute faith of a person is Krishna consciousness, is based on proper knowledge. But then Prabhupada also gives this warning that having this cultivating, reaching onto this platform of condensed faith is not that easy. And Prabhupada writes that how Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. So yes, this might appear to be a difficult proposition, that on one hand we are being recommended to reach to the platform of condensed faith, and at the same time it appears to be very difficult as well. Yes, it is difficult, but it's not impossible. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that this reaching on to this platform of condensed faith is going to be possible by two things: acting in Krishna consciousness under the able guidance of our spiritual master, who is the bona fide representative of Krishna. So if one is acting in Krishna consciousness under the able guidance of our spiritual master, yes, although it is difficult to come to the platform of condensed faith, but still it is very much possible. And why is it possible? Because once again, in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes the secret of advancement in Krishna consciousness, that how is it that a person from a very fragile faith is going to arrive to the platform of strong condensed faith? This is going to be possible. The secret of advancement in Krishna consciousness is the satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master. So if by rendering devotional service, one is able to satisfy the self-realized spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, then by his mercy, we receive the mercy of Krishna. And by Krishna's mercy, yes, our fragile faith will ultimately and finally come to the platform of condensed faith. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. If there is the mercy of the spiritual master, there will be mercy of Krishna. Yasya aprasadat na gati kutopi. But where there is no mercy of the bona fide representative of Krishna, one cannot aspire to reach a sublime destination in one's life. And therefore, based on this particular aspect, that how before reaching that point in our lives wherein we'll also be demanded to give up our life, give up our bodies, before reaching that very point, it is our responsibility to ensure that how we act in Krishna consciousness, following the instructions of our spiritual masters, our gurus, who are bona fide representatives of Krishna, and please them to attract the mercy of Krishna, so that, you know, our fragile faith also becomes strong, and we are also able to remember Krishna at the end of our lives. And what better example could there be other than the life of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada himself, who took to this mission of his spiritual master with all of his heart and soul, and who had this implicit and strong faith in the words of his spiritual master, in the order of his spiritual master. And based on that strong faith, we just look behind and you know, we find this amazing contribution of Srila Prabhupada to the entire world that he has made, and nothing can compare to it. And we can, all of us can also hope and pray that by rendering honest and sincere devotional service, following instructions of our gurus, we can also develop a strong faith in the words of Krishna and ultimately remember Krishna at the time of death. Hare Krishna, thank you all once again. If I have spoken anything over and above my realization, or if anything has hurt anyone, I beg forgiveness. And we might take maybe a couple of questions if there is time. Maybe one or two questions at max.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare
Dandavat
Krishna.
Pranam Prabhu.
Dandavat Pranam Prabhu.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very beautiful class. Certainly, Prabhu, I loved the point when you said in a marriage, when we go and we try to speak about death or Krishna consciousness, it's not very good, but in the end of the day, yeah, that is the truth, which everybody knows. You know, Ram Naam Satya hai, everybody knows, but then nobody wants to listen about it.
Yeah.
And then a beautiful example of how you break down Shraddha, Prabhuji. Very nice. Thank you, Prabhuji. That was very helpful. I never actually heard of that. And your pastime in the plane, Prabhu, was very nice. We all
no,
have.
No, it was not a pastime, Prabhuji. It's just an experience. I had no contribution to make in that.
I was thinking, Prabhu, we all have those pastime, and I'm glad they don't become our pastime. I was thinking,
something
sarve gachanti adha, if that pastime happens. And Prabhu, wholesale bell was very nice. Yeah, we certainly have done that, all of us. But that's probably our first step, and then we go to the Krishna consciousness when we find a guru like Srila Prabhupada in our life, and our life is successful at that point. And in the end, you certainly said, Prabhu, without Guru's mercy, it's like going nowhere. Beautiful, beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your kind words.
Hare Hare, Prabhu. Very beautiful class. Prabhu, we have already our few devotees with a hand raised. Our Shivakumar Prabhuji is there. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu.
Hare Hare.
Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. So much of important points, so much of takeaway, Prabhu. We have to kind of listen, I think, multiple times. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Prabhu, one question on the faith, Prabhu. In my experience, I see that the faith seems to be strengthening only at the time of uncertainty, Prabhu. In the sense that, I mean, I'm just sharing my experience, Prabhu. It seems that faith is also getting strengthened or developed. Also, it is being tested in the sense that the false sense of faith that develops when the situation is favorable, when life is favorable, that seems to be get tested also during the time of certainty. So I see that both the test happening and then it is getting strengthened also, Prabhu. I just wanted to hear from you. So what are your thoughts on this?
Just like in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also mentions that we tend to become philosophical. We tend to look at the realities and evaluate the realities of life in times of distress. But then if we are nicely connected to proper association, if we are in touch with the scriptures on a very solid note, so definitely not just in the times of distress, but even though everything might look good, just like we discussed the analogy of the wet cow dung and the dry cow dung. So the wet cow dung might feel that, you know, I have a lot of, you know, moisture around me, or I'm very much well placed as compared to the dry cow dung. But then the time factor is operational in this world. And by the impact of time factor, everything which looks good today is going to get bereft of all of its beauty, is going to get bereft of all of its glamour and all of its glitter. And therefore, when we look through Shastra Chakshu, when we look through the eyes of the scriptures, we understand that, you know, what appears to be beautiful is actually an illusion. What appears to be very substantial actually doesn't have any substance. And therefore, this is where the scriptures, this is where the association of devotees play a very pivotal role in
Mm.
helping us see beyond that what is apparently visible to us. And therefore, an intelligent person, the true application of our intelligence, you know, each of us are blessed with intelligence by Krishna. All that we need to do is, you know, pull out and apply that intelligence based on what we have heard and what we have might even seen and experienced in this world, to understand that reality is not what is visible before my eyes. You know, reality is what is explained by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And when we perceive reality in that sense, I think we'll be in a position to improve our faith on a regular note, not just in times of distress. I mean, that's what I can think of in a few words.
Okay. Thank you so much. Got your point and made a note.
Hare
of
Krishna.
Thank you. Sorry.
So true, Prabhuji, beautiful answer. Time will take away everything. Our big houses, big cars, big this, big that, everything will be gone one day.
I mean, it might sound to be very frightening, but then, I mean,
but
that's
that is
what
the truth,
the scriptures, Prabhuji. That's what the scriptures and the Guru Sadhu Shastra teach us ultimately.
Certainly, Prabhuji, Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj says, you can make the beautiful house, the most beautiful house on the planet. But one day, you know, it will be degraded and nobody knows what it is, whatever. And he says, put your money towards building a temple of Krishna. That will give so much love to everyone and that will remain forever. Yes,
For sure.
Beautiful
for
answer,
sure.
Prabhu. That is the beautiful answer.
So,
Prabhuji, ever
Prabhuji, I can see very many hands coming up. So,
yes.
But I may not be able to, you know, do
If
justice
you
to
have just
everyone.
5 minutes, because all these hand raised are our amazing and beautiful devotees who give us association every day, and they are very learned devotees, Prabhuji. They are just here to, you know, for somebody like me, you know, they ask questions for stupids like me, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, we have our very dear Shri Ishopanishad Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanva Pranam.
Jai Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam Mataji.
Jai Hari Hari Bol. Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
you gave a wonderful definition of faith. And I wanted to make sure that I got it right. You said faith is unflinching faith in something sublime. Is that the word you use?
This is what Srila Prabhupada writes in the 41st verse purport of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The purport to the verse Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. So I'll repeat what he writes. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. I'll repeat.
Jai.
Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime.
Unflinching trust. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. I have more questions,
Thank
but
you.
We'll wait. Hare Bol, next time. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for staying with us all the time. Prabhuji, please, a couple of more minutes if you have, Prabhu.
Yeah, sure.
Our very dear Sukhakara Krishna Prabhuji is there. Prabhuji gives the classes on Srimad Bhagavatam too all the time, but he asks questions for you know, people like me, you know, Prabhuji. Hari Bol, Prabhu.
Thank you, Balabhadra Prabhu, for allowing me to ask the question. Chaitanya Prabhu, really, I'm so much touched, Prabhu. When I can see a Radhanath Prabhu Maharaj coming, like you are coming as a photocopy and trying to give such advance.
I stand nowhere, please. Yes, I'll have miles to go before I sleep.
but I'm really a big fan of Radhanath. I'm a disciple of Jayapataka Maharaj, but I love Radhanath Maharaj and I have his photo in my altar. Guru Maharaj said, he's my brother, you can keep in the altar. So I really have. So even Gopal Krishna Maharaj, my first Maharaj I met in the life. So they tell like my Chacha, my J2, like that, all of them together. I got one question, Prabhuji. See now, you know, Prabhupada came with faith in Guru. He went all over the world. He didn't see whether Muslim or Christian. Everywhere he spread it like that. Okay, now, the situation what's coming is, there the Muslims are increasing. They're coming from Bangladesh. Everywhere they're doing. See, in Mamata Banerjee, in Calcutta, what's happening is, She is charging 3,000 rupees and getting a Muslim to come inside. And selling one cow for 1,000 rupees. Like that, one side they are coming, one side Gohatya going on. But in spite of that, their population is increasing and they're telling by 2032, finish all. So I'm not worried. Obviously, Lakshmi Krishna, I know. But, and we have got such great disciples like Radhanath Maharaj, Gopalakrishna Maharaj, Japatak Maharaj, and all other Maharaj. But I'm just praying one more Prabhupada to come, you know, to go all over the world. And because I'm not again Muslim or Christian, because everybody is a child of Krishna. There's no enemy for a devotee, there's no enemy. But I'm just a little anxious that, you know, so when we try to preach, we always see first me and my wife and my daughter and my family, then my Bhakti Viksha, like that. But I'm not in a worldwide, now I'm just getting how it will alarm and think that whole world should chant. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written that the day will come, the judge will give judgment, he will be having Kantimala and chanting. Like that it should happen. Modi and everybody should be devotees. So I don't know whether my question is like a bad man I'm asking, but I'm just...
And definitely, Prabhu, I'm on your side, and we to also hope and pray that, you know, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, all of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are blessed with a long lives, and the amazing preaching that each one of them have been doing. May Krishna bless them with good health for many, 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 many more years to come. And by their mercy, may each one of us also be empowered and qualified to serve to our own capacity. And by their mercy, may our capacity also increase. So this, yes, the example of Srila Prabhupada will remain unparalleled for sure. But then we can pray to Krishna to also help us you know, contribute our own bit in pleasing him, because we might not aspire to create a difference in this world, because the world is gonna progress as per the plan of the Lord, and the Lord's plan cannot be checked by, you know, tiny people like us. So whatever is Krishna's plan will definitely happen. But then we can hope and pray that we can contribute to something which will please him. And if Krishna is pleased, I think that is the success of our lives.
Prabhu, I need your prayers, and because now a big donation is coming next week, and we are going to have 40 temples in Tamil Nadu, or Radha Krishna temple, Koshala, and one of the temple, Gauran Prabhu has agreed to make it as a Govardhan Eco Village in South India. So that is the first plan. And then we want to make 29 temples all over India and 14 temples all over the world. And in each temple, 2,50,000 cows. If so many cows comes, then in Tamil Nadu, 1 crore cows. Everybody cow. Then Krishna will come to play flute now when so many cows are there. Then
yeah,
all will become
sure.
Chanting. Yeah, Prabhu, just I need your prayers, all of you. All of us will work together. Let it come. I want Balabhadra Prabhu, everybody, because we have to somehow do make it as such a thing
sure,
that Prabhupada should come running to see all of us. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Sukara Krishna Prabhu. Your enthusiasm is what keeps us, you know, alive. Thank you, Prabhuji, for being with us. Prabhuji, before going to our Karpakvalli Mataji, I want to thank Sadhavi Mataji, who always listens to the classes. He's there. You know, listening, Shravanam is first limb that we all take. So thank you, Sadhvi Mataji, for being with us all the time. So our Karpavalli Mataji, Haribol Mataji, Dhanavat Pranam.
Haribol, Prabhuji, I am traveling, but I want to ask Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class and the session. And I want to just, what are the next step? He told condensed faith, that the next step in the faith, after that condensed faith, I want the clarification. I want him to explain that one, Prabhuji, please.
Prabhuji, condensed faith is the final, the ultimate, which we have to reach. There's nothing more than that.
Unalloyed, unmotivated faith and that
Yeah,
Siddha,
that is
he
what,
told on
yeah,
that Siddha.
these are the characteristics of condensed faith.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Dhanwad Pranam, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Dhanwad.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. You were traveling. I was thinking we all are traveling. We just need to reach somewhere. Hare Bol. So, dear devotees, thank you so much for staying with us, all of us. Prabhuji, there was another question by our very dear Radha Jyoti Mataji, but he actually put her hand down thinking that you have to go. So that's nice of her. So no problem, Mataji, you can ask next time. So dear devotees, let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the assembled Vaishnavas on the call and all over the three planets. भागवतम की सुशीला प्रभुपाद जी की जय, सुरेश चतन्य लीला प्रभु जी की जय,
थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी।